This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you. It's Cashing Out. Oh, no, it's Live Bet Sunday. Cashing Out will be coming up next, and that's where we will celebrate our wins, hopefully, here for Sunday Night Football on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You guys can always hit me up on Twitter, at Scott's On Air. Hit us all up on the network, at VSiN Live. We're 20 minutes away from kickoff here of Sunday Night Football between the Chicago Bears and the San Francisco 49ers. Tracking any late market movement here, we have seen the total been affected a little bit. It is at 51.5 now across the board, and no movement on the spread. As I say that, we have just seen a flash. So, 49ers are -3.5 pretty much everywhere. Two books have just moved to 49ers -4. That is interesting. Now, I don't know if there's a specific reason why, with like any injury reports or anything like that. Like, we know that a couple of things. For the 49ers, we know that George Kittle's not going to play in this game. For the Bears, though, they have been dealing with a lot. There's an illness going through their locker room. Guys are getting sick. Does that affect these players coming into this game tonight? For some players that were questionable dealing with an illness, does it affect them coming into this game? They do have certain players that were going to be inactive here tonight. Let's see. Latest report is we know that it is going to be, we know about Odunze being out. So here we go. Players that are listed on with an injury are warming up, and it looks like it's going to play through it here. DJ Moore, their right tackle, Darnell Wright, cornerback Josh Blackwell, wide receiver and returner Devin Duvernay, all listed on the injury report with an illness, are warming up and looks like they are going to play through it. That according to Jason Leiser, Chicago Bears writer for the Chicago Sun-Times. So the players that are questionable with an illness looks like they will give it a go, and that does include DJ Moore. So already without Rome Odunze, you wonder, and with Olamide Zaccheaus, will DJ Moore play? It looks like DJ Moore will play, and Darnell Wright will both play. But again, how much will they be affected, you know, by them dealing with a little bit of an illness all week this week? And with the Eagles winning, you would think it incentivizes the Chicago Bears because they don't want to lose out on the 2 seed. Right now, looking at the standings in the NFC playoff picture, the Bears are the 2 seed with a chance to play for the 1 seed. The Bears need to win the final two games here, and then hope that after they beat the 49ers, that the 49ers beat the Seahawks next week. And even if the Rams win. So a Rams win on Monday, a Bears win tonight, and then a Bears win against the Lions in week 18 combined with a 49er win over the Seahawks in week 18. And that gives the Chicago Bears the #1 seed in the AFC. It's as simple as that. So Bears still have a lot to play for. Now, as far as the 2 seed is concerned, with the Eagles winning here, you would think, yes, it incentivizes them even further. The Bears just need 1 win in their final 2 weeks in order to clinch that 2 seed. Whether that win comes tonight or that win comes next week against the Lions, obviously if the win comes here tonight, they are still in play for the 1 seed if the 49ers beat the Seahawks. But if the Seahawks beat the 49ers, well, then the Bears will be the 2 seed. Like, at worst, with a win tonight, the Bears will be the 2 seed. So very interesting that we are seeing movement here in the market. Again, we have had two books, now more books, are flashing the 4s on the board. -4 for the San Francisco 49ers. Here at Circa, it is still -3.5, total of 51.5. But the Westgate's at -4. We have a couple of two other online books, and one other book here in town, actually. 49ers -4. So interesting line movements here. Props that I'm playing in this game. We already talked about this a little bit earlier, but I'll reiterate here. I'm on Christian McCaffrey to go over 5.5 receptions. He is heavily involved in the passing game. He has gone over this number many times this season. And with no George Kittle playing, I do think he has a more active role in the receiving game, lining up in the slot. Christian McCaffrey, the best pass-catching running back in the NFL. Give me over 5.5 receptions, and especially at a plus-money price. Right now, you can get +105, +108, depending on the book. That is one that I will be in on. And then I do think DeAndre Swift gets involved in the passing game in addition to running the ball effectively here tonight. So give me DeAndre Swift to go over 74.5 combined rushing and receiving yards. And then you can look at Kyle Manungai as well. Kyle Manungai for the Chicago Bears, 42.5 rushing yards. Like, I can see Kyle Manungai going over his rushing yardage prop as well. Keep in mind, in my weekly trench report, this game was identified as one of the top rushing mismatches of the week. And it was for both teams. The number one rushing mismatch of the week in my weekly trench report, which has dominated in terms of just playing the running backs to go over, right? The number one running mismatch, Monday Night Football, Rams against the Falcons. Number two and number three, Bears over the 49ers, 49ers over the Bears. Number four was the Buffalo Bills against the Philadelphia Eagles. And even though James Cook did not go over his pregame line, we did play his live line at the half over 66.5. And he did go over that comfortably. He had 20 carries for 74 yards in that game. So he went slightly under his pregame number, which was around 80 or so. But 20 carries for 74. They rushed for 120 yards as a team. And then the number five rushing mismatch was the Cowboys on Christmas, and their backup running back, Malik Davis, rushed for over 100 yards. Javonte Williams had 54 before he left with the shoulder injury. So the number two and number three biggest rushing advantages here in the trench report, Bears over the Niners, Niners over the Bears. So I think we do see Christian McCaffrey and both Kyle Manungai and DeAndre Swift to have big-time games tonight. I like the over in this game tonight. I do think we see points. If you're looking at your anytime touchdown scorers, well, you can't go wrong. Christian McCaffrey is heavily juiced. You don't want to lay the number on Christian McCaffrey at -250. Instead, this is a fun way to get at the Christian McCaffrey prop. So McCaffrey's +205 to have two touchdowns. Now, this is something that it's a very interesting way to manipulate the two touchdown market. Come closer. I'm gonna let you in on a little secret here. Hopefully this doesn't get me punished or banned, because I've been known to give out some good advice here that the sports books don't like. My TikTok got banned after me giving out some good advice. And think about that. Think about the thousands of accounts that are out there of people giving out bad advice. I give out one piece of good advice, my account gets banned. So whoever was watching that. But listen to this. Christian McCaffrey is +205 to score two touchdowns in this game. Instead of betting McCaffrey to score two touchdowns, I get it. What I'm about to say is, you're pigeonholing yourself just a bit. But on certain books, you can do this. Parlay Christian McCaffrey to score the first touchdown of the game, which is anywhere from +370 to +380 or so. Parlay that with Christian McCaffrey to score two touchdowns. And now you're essentially turning your two touchdown bet from +205 to +650. That's on DraftKings right now, I'm looking at. We can try and price it out on other books as well. I say that you're pigeonholing yourself because, yes, you are now limiting him to scoring the first touchdown of the game. And if you want, you could just take your plus 380 ticket on the first touchdown of the game. Cool. But if he scores the first touchdown of the game, think about how likely it is that he scores a second touchdown at some other point throughout the game. And now your two-touchdown bet, instead of plus 205, is plus 650. We just saw it. We saw it with Derrick Henry. I mean, he scored four touchdowns, but he scored the first touchdown. He scored multiple touchdowns. It's happened before with Christian McCaffrey, where he scored the first touchdown of the game and then proceeded to score a second touchdown in the game. We've seen it with Jahmyr Gibbs. We've seen it with a lot of players that score two touchdowns. Usually, if a player is going to score two touchdowns, the first one's going to have to come early in the game. It's very rare you're going to get two touchdowns from the same player late in the game. So one of them might very well be the first touchdown of the game. And this is a fun, again, these are all sprinkles here. I'm not telling you to put full unit stuff on this bets, but if you were going to bet it anyway, if you were thinking to yourself, I'm not laying 250 on McCaffrey to score a touchdown, I'd rather go plus 205 for him to score two touchdowns, which that, by the way, is just a terrible price anyway. It should be much higher. But I get it. It's McCaffrey. It's juiced. But how about a fun way to now take advantage of this and maximize your payout, parlay him to have the first touchdown and to score a second touchdown plus 650? Well, the odds just changed in front of me right now. So if some of you are listening and placing this bet, now it went to plus 625. This literally, the screen just flashed like in front of me and changed the odds on the bet. McCaffrey now plus 370 to be the first touchdown, plus 205, two touchdowns, and the parlay is plus 625 right now on DraftKings. I'm Scott Satterberg. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. You can hit us off on the network at VSIN Live. This is Live Bet Sunday on the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you, cashing out here on, I keep saying cashing out, it's because I've been doing that show all week, and that's coming up next here in a few hours after this game, and I think our boy Dustin Sweetelson might be back doing cashing out, but this is Live Bet Sunday as we are getting ready. Carrie Underwood is singing right now, so we are getting ready for kickoff of Sunday Night Football. I just sent out a tweet at Scott's On Air, by the way, of the same game parlay that we are playing here tonight for fun, which is the Christian McCaffrey first touchdown parlayed with Christian McCaffrey two plus touchdowns. To me, this is a fun way to get at your Christian McCaffrey two touchdown bets. Instead of plus 205 to score two touchdowns, take a stab that he scores the first touchdown of the game, and then the likelihood of him scoring a second touchdown does increase. And so I do like taking a plus 625 stab at McCaffrey to score the first touchdown of the game and McCaffrey to score two touchdowns here tonight. As far as the prop bets, I reiterate the two ones that we gave out already. DeAndre Swift over 74.5 combo rushing plus receiving yards. And we are on Christian McCaffrey over 5.5 receptions. I do like McCaffrey's combo rushing and receiving yards at 121.5 or so. I like both quarterbacks to go over their passing yards. Brock Purdy at about 259, I believe it is. Let's look real quick. Purdy is at now 251.5. Caleb Williams down to 220.5 in some books. I would go over that number. That number is just way too low, in my opinion. So I think Caleb Williams has a good passing day. I think Brock Purdy has a good passing day. I think both quarterbacks might run the ball also. So I think we're going to see a fun game tonight. I like the over at 51.5 is an over here for me for this game. And that's where we are pretty much everywhere in the market. 51.5 on the total. And maybe if we can get like maybe no score on the first drive, or, you know, a little bit of time goes by and this total gets down to like the 48 and a half range, I'll go in on the over 48 and a half live. So let's monitor this. I'm not going to play the 51 and a half right now, but I will be prepared to jump in depending on what happens here on this first drive. If we go a couple of minutes without a score and we do get a live line around 48 and a half, 49, let's go ahead and we will go in on that live total to go over here for Sunday night football. A reminder, this game was identified in my trench report as a rushing mismatch for both of these teams. Both of these teams were identified in my weekly trench report as having a rushing advantage over the opponent. The Bears over the Niners, the number two rushing mismatch of the week. The Niners over the Bears, the number three rushing mismatch of the week. The Bears' offensive line has played really good this season, like really, really good. They are, in my grading, number four in pass blocking this season. And we know the 49ers do not get a ton of pressure on the quarterback. And so the Bears could be giving Caleb Williams a clean pocket tonight, and we could see him throw for a ton of yards. I do also think that we're going to see the Bears run the ball effectively, and the 49ers run the ball effectively as well. The 49ers grade out as the number three best run-blocking offensive line in the NFL, in my scoring system, and the Chicago Bears, the number five run-blocking offensive line. So think about the teams that my trench report is identifying and where they are in the standings. Now, this is all results-based, right? Because the numbers will improve or downgrade every single week based on your performances here. But think about this, okay? You look at the teams that find themselves in multiple top five categories in my rankings and look at what they've done this season. The best is the Denver Broncos. The Broncos are the number two pass blocking offensive line. They are the number two pass rush defensive line and the number four run stuff defensive line. And the Broncos have the best record in the NFL. Then you look at the Bears, who have, as I mentioned, the number four pass-blocking offensive line and the number five run-blocking offensive line. There's no wonder that they're alive for the number one seed here in the NFC. Cleveland Browns, top pass-rush defensive line, top run-stuff defensive line. And that I thought that was going to change over the past, you know, because the past couple of weeks they've been poor, but they didn't do that bad here against the Steelers. I thought the Steelers should run the ball more, but they didn't. And I thought these numbers would decrease, like the Rams were certainly catching up to them in my scoring system. But I don't know if that's going to be the case now because the Steelers didn't exactly have a field day running the football against the Browns. Rams, meanwhile, I mean, you want to talk about how good the Rams are? The Rams are the number one run-blocking offensive line in football in my grading. They are the number three pass-rush defensive line and the number two run-stuff defensive line. So like the Broncos, the Rams find themselves in three top five categories out of the four. I mean, that's all you need to know, right? The game is won in the trenches, and these teams have the best trenches, both offensively and defensively. While we're at it, we might as well go over the results of what we saw here based on the trench report here on Sunday, and then, yes, earlier on Christmas. Top five largest mismatches, the biggest advantages of the week, which, coming into this Week 17 Sunday, with a win by the Texans on Saturday, teams were 45-17 straight up with 12 outright underdog winners. The Seattle Seahawks, the number one mismatch, they won their game. The Los Angeles Rams, the number three mismatch, they'll be playing on Monday. The Tampa Bay Bucks, number four, womp. And the Giants, number five, they took a victory. So we got to add two more wins and one more loss. That makes it 47-18 straight up with 12 outright underdog winners. And then in the top three closest mismatches, where in this case, when I identify the top three close mismatches, close matchups, I take the points with the dogs. And it has been incredibly profitable taking the points with the dogs. 2-1 this week with the underdogs ATS with one outright underdog winner. So the Patriots and the Jets, not even close. as the Jets are just a shell of an NFL team. Ravens and Packers, Ravens win outright as dogs, and the Cowboys and Commanders, the Commanders cover as dogs in that one. So the top three closest matchups in the Trench Report each week, 18, 11, and 1 ATS with 11 outright winners. And again, you guys could hit me up here on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir, and you'll find all the links for where I post the weekly Trench Report each and every Wednesday, and then we talk about it, of course, coming up here on the weekends on VSiN as we get ready for all of the NFL action. We are moments away from kickoff here of Sunday Night Football. Again, we are closing right now as Circa has moved to 49ers minus 4.5. So the late move right now, 49ers minus 4.5. That's where we are across the board. 4.5 DraftKings, 4.5 Circa, 4.5 Caesars, minus 4, a couple other books, Westgate, MGM, minus 4. So movement here on the 49ers late. Again, here at Circa, 49ers minus 4.5, the total closing at 51.5. So if you are a steam chaser, you're looking at the late movement here. The late movement is on the 49ers minus 4.5 is the spread, and they will start with the football first. I want to bet the over, but I also want to wait to see if we get a better number here than 51.5. If we can get the 48 or 40, if we can get the 48.5 or 49, I would play it live. So let's see what happens here in the first drive of the game. We also did a plus 625 sprinkle on Christian McCaffrey to score the first touchdown of the game and Christian McCaffrey to have two touchdowns here tonight, something that he has already done this season, something that Derrick Henry just did yesterday, and we have seen several players do this. If you score the first touchdown, yeah, the likelihood of you scoring a second touchdown, it definitely increases. So we'll keep an eye on that as Brock Purdy and the 49ers offense takes the field for their first possession. Both of these teams still alive for the number one seed in the NFC and the first round bye. However, the 49ers are the only team that controls their own path. A win here tonight and a win next week against the Seahawks, and the 49ers will not get on a plane for the remainder of the season as they will host the divisional round, the championship game, and even the Super Bowl. As the first pass of the game tipped and intercepted, and the Bears defense scores a touchdown on the pick six, first play of the game, Brock Purdy throws off the receiver's chest, popped up in the air, picked off, and returned for a touchdown. Buckle up. Sunday Night Football underway with a bang. Juwan Jennings, the intended receiver, collision at the point, ball pops up in the air, and returned for a touchdown. My goodness. What a start here for the Chicago Bears. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you, Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So the 49ers have settled in a little bit here. First play of the game was the deflected pass that gets picked off and returned for a touchdown. 7-0, the Bears lead the 49ers here on Sunday Night Football. 49ers do have the football on their now second attempt at a first drive, and they have moved into Chicago Bears territory. So we'll keep you up to date on what's going on in this game. Keep an eye on our props that we have played with both McCaffrey and DeAndre Swift and see how this one winds up playing out. But let's focus our attention now on college football. The college football playoff will continue coming up later on this week. One game on New Year's Eve and three games on New Year's Day to determine who we will see in the semifinals. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line is Parker Fleming. You check out his website, collegefootball-graphs, one of the great resources when it comes to handicapping college football. Parker, appreciate the time here for joining us on the program. And before we get into the playoffs, what's your overall sense been on what you have seen so far from bowl season?
Bowl season has definitely been a mixed bag. I'm a bowl proponent. I love them, and I think they're integral to the fabric of college football. And for you know, as much as there's been some talk about them not being as great, LSU, Houston, Pop-Tarts Bowl, Georgia Tech, BYU have been compelling. New Mexico, Minnesota, New Mexico and Minnesota, really, really compelling football game. But there have been some stinkers too. It has been evident that there is disparities in motivation and preparation, I think is the diplomatic way to say that, with some of these bowls. And I'm trying to keep the ones that were competitive, front and center. Hawaii Bowl on Christmas Eve. I don't know if you can ask for anything better than that, yeah. Right? But there have been a couple games where you look at a team and you think, man, this is not the team that I have seen, both in terms of the players and in terms of the quality of play, not the team that I've seen all season.
Yeah, it's becoming increasingly difficult to handicap these games because for a lot of them, you just have to throw out the regular season numbers because those players are gone and the motivation might not be there. And so we can say all the wonderful things that we know about these teams from their performances in the regular season. It doesn't mean anything most of the time when it comes down to these bowl games. But it will mean something when we continue the playoffs. Quarterfinals will kick off here on New Year's Eve, and you're looking at some of the spreads, Parker. You're looking at the performances that we saw in the first round, and I certainly think that a team like Miami gets upgraded based on their performance in that quarterfinal game, or that first round game, I should say, against Texas A&M. Have you upgraded Miami after that performance?
Well, I have Miami as the fifth team overall. So I was a little bit higher than the market coming in. Mm-hmm. I actually really downgraded Texas A&M more than I upgraded Miami after that game. I did have Miami favored outright by 3 points. And looking at the way they won, low success rate. I think they had a negative success rate differential in that game. They found some explosives at the end. And then that defense was just absolutely suffocating and absolutely frustrating towards Marcel Reed. So I did not upgrade Miami because I kind of was confirmed that, you know, this is who I think they were. And the way that A&M lost, I think that game said more about what Texas A&M's ceiling was than moving Miami forward. I do have them within striking distance, about 7.5 points behind Ohio State. In this matchup coming here. I know the line, I think, is north of nine and yep. a half, depending on where you see it there. But I think Miami's recipe for success is, one, hopefully the wind isn't as bad as it was in the Texas A&M game. And that is a little bit of a cop-out, but I do think that mattered. They need to continue to find success. They're 10th in offensive success rate on the season. They did not move the ball consistently down the field. In Miami's struggles earlier in the season, we saw them move the ball consistently, and then that backbreaking turnover is really what led to those losses. Think about the Louisville game, for instance. But they're 26th in EPA per rush. That has come up a little bit just because they were very efficient against a good Texas A&M team in terms of getting those explosive runs in the second half. They can't be boom or bust against Ohio State. Ohio State's defense is fifth in EPA per rush on the season, and they're sixth in defensive success rate against the rush. So Ohio State is not the team to, you know, get zeros and hope for the big play that's going to flip the field. Miami's got to get back to the basics of moving the ball consistently and hoping the explosives come, not hoping the explosives bail them out.
Yeah, I think this is the spread is a bit too high here at 9.5. So I do lean towards Miami, pretty strong lean here on Miami in this game. Let's move on to the games on New Year's Day. We will see Texas Tech take on Oregon. Very, very interested in line because, at times you can look at the look ahead lines prior to the matchups being official. And some had Texas Tech -1. Some had the game as a pick 'em. Now we're seeing Oregon about a 2.5 point favorite in the market. I have a futures ticket on Texas Tech to win the national championship, Parker. It's Texas Tech and Georgia, the two tickets that I have. I'm very high on this team, especially their defensive front, which has played like the best defensive front in football. You look at this matchup, and how do you compare both of these squads?
I'll spare the sermon that's better served in the offseason about how returning production is so different than what we've been accustomed to the last couple of years. Texas Tech has legitimate NFL dudes at multiple spots on defense. This defense is not Texas Tech defense of old. I have them first in opponent adjusted EPA per play, first against the rush, second against the drop back, first in quality drive rate allowed. I have them favored by almost just a little over 4 points against Oregon here. One thing that stands out to me, Texas Tech's defense is best among the remaining playoff teams, allowing only a 17.5% positive drive rate. So not even scoring, just saying, did you get positive expected points on that drive? Texas A&M is at 17.5%. The next closest is Ohio State at 21. Oregon's defense, 54% positive drive rate, allowing 25. The issue with Texas Tech has been finishing drives. They're 27th in quality drive rate on offense. They're 44th in points per quality drive. That would worry me against a lot of teams, but Oregon, while they've been 8th in quality drive rate allowed, they're 79th, allowing 3.6 points per quality drive. So when you get into the red zone, they are susceptible. Also, Texas Tech's offense excels on 3rd and 4th downs, 13th in 3rd and 4th down success rate. Oregon's defense, 50th in raw 3rd and 4th down success rate allowed. So there's your recipe for Texas Tech to take over. Also, huge disparities in terms of the run game. Oregon has been run against a bunch. Texas Tech is 50th in rush rate over expected. They want to pass the ball more than run it. And then Oregon's offense is 85th rushing the ball. They're pretty balanced, but leaning towards rushing. Texas Tech has been passed against 4 percentage points more than the average team. So huge volume splits there that I think play into Texas Tech's hand. If Texas Tech can get any kind of a lead, we've seen what they've done to the quality opponent they've played twice, BYU. They get a lead, they can just sit and smother on you. And while Oregon is equipped, I think, to get those big plays, they cannot afford to get a negative game state against this Texas Tech defense that would love to just pin its ears back and come after Dante Moore.
Yeah, and you know, you look at this Texas Tech team and their one loss, they did not have Baron Morton in that game. So they have been perfect with him at quarterback so far this season. Parker, let's talk about the Indiana game against Alabama. Indiana, a 6.5-point favorite. And I was against Alabama in the Oklahoma game. I was all over Oklahoma in that matchup. And was I, you know, counting my chickens before they hatched when it was 17-0? Yes. Did Alabama come back and win that game? Yes. Was it more about Oklahoma losing that game? Yes. I think that there might be some SEC bias here when it comes to the market, with people thinking that how could Alabama be a 6.5-point dog? But based on everything that I've seen, and I'm curious your take here, Indiana, I believe, is head and shoulders above Alabama right now.
I have Indiana by 9 points.
I love it.
I'll say that again because I had to do a double take. 9 points for Indiana. Absolutely absurd. I think this Alabama team has as high a ceiling as anyone in the college football playoff, but they cannot play consistently up to that. And that's been their issue, especially in the run game. 72nd in rushing success rate on offense. And this is another one where game state, I think, could matter. If Indiana can script drives well, get out to a lead, they're not going to stall out on offense like Oklahoma did. And even as Alabama's defense has played a little bit better as of late, that offense is really struggling to find consistency. And I think Indiana could pull away if they get out in front. Alabama wants to keep this as a rock fight. They do not want to get in a shootout, I think, with Fernando Mendoza and what Indiana has been able to do. One thing about Indiana's defense, the passing split really, really matches with what Alabama does. Alabama's 13th in rush rate over expected because they can't rush a lot, so they're passing a lot. And Indiana has faced about 3 percentage points more of passing than the average team. So they've been tested in the secondary as well. And speaking of NFL dudes in multiple positions, Indiana can pressure you. Indiana's got guys that can win one-on-one on coverage. I think Alabama's going to have to run the ball and move the ball consistently in a way they haven't all season to be able to stay ahead of the chains and avoid chasing points in this game, which is a battle I think that Indiana will win if they can get in that positive game state.
Parker, we got a little less than a minute left. Do you have Georgia Ole Miss closer or higher than the spread of 6.5 right now?
I've got it closer. I don't know if I trust it. I think Georgia's the team that, you know, gun to my head, you said who's going to win it. I think I would trust them the most with the experience. I think they're playing better as of late. Ole Miss with the coaching instability obviously matters there. But these teams are very similarly rated. I just think that Georgia has increased. They moved about 4 points in the last couple of weeks up for me. So I think they're rounding into form and should be able to take care of business here.
That's where I am as well. Parker, appreciate the time, man. Great work as always. We love the website. Continue success, and we'll catch up again real soon. Enjoy the games.
Thanks for having me.
There he is, Parker Fleming. Check him out on Twitter at StatsOWar. The website, cfb-graphs.com. I'm Scott Satterberg. We'll get you caught up on what's going on here Sunday night football between the 49ers and the Bears. Talk a little bit more about these college football playoff quarterfinal games coming up this week. It's Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live. Live Bet Sunday on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you. Live Bet Sunday on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network. My thanks to Parker Fleming, who joined us last segment. Talk a little college football as we have the playoffs coming up here this week. We'll get back into the college football playoffs coming up here in just a moment. Let's get you caught up on what's going on here in Santa Clara, where Trent Williams, the 49ers' star left tackle, is on the sidelines with no helmet on. Not in the game right now, as the 49er offense has their third drive of the game. Their first drive was only one play. It resulted in that pick six on the very first play of the game. So the Bears punted after their first series, and now the 49ers will be facing a fourth down and punting on their second series here. But the big story that we are monitoring, Trent Williams is on the sideline with no helmet on, as he was not in on the second series here for the 49ers offense. We have a 7-7 score. Jacob Tongas, the tight end for the 49ers, scoring their touchdown. The Bears obviously scoring theirs on that pick six to open up the game. So 7-7 is the score with about 7:44 to go here in the first quarter on the live line. The 49ers are 3.5-point favorites, total of 59.5. This game closed with late movement on San Francisco. 49ers minus 4.5, total of 51.5. We are on a couple of player props here. And as far as the total, I like the over. I wanted to play the over, and I figured let's wait to see about the over, if maybe we get a better line in game. Well, early on with the pick six and then the 49ers marching right down the field to score a touchdown, not exactly a good start for a live bet on the over, possibly. But it is at 59.5. We'll continue to monitor this. It looks like Trent Williams, who the 49ers are saying is questionable to return with a hamstring injury. It looks like he is removing his wrist tape on the sidelines, a sign that maybe he is done for this game for tonight. So we'll keep an eye on that. Again, 49ers minus 3.5 on the live line, total of 59.5. Let's get back into the college football playoff. My thanks once again to Parker Fleming, who joined us last segment to preview the college football playoff games coming up. We have New Year's Eve coming up this week with the first playoff game, and that is between Miami and Ohio State, where Ohio State is a 9.5-point favorite over Miami. This is a big line in this game. Now, we've seen heavy spreads here in the college football playoff before. This isn't a strange occurrence, but you would think that coming off of a win against Texas A&M, a game in which your defense played really well, there would be some upgrade in the market here for Miami. Now, was their offense impacted by the wind and the weather? Was A&M's offense impacted by the wind in that game? Maybe. This is indoors. It's the Cotton Bowl at AT&T Stadium, so it's going to be a fast track. Low total in this game, though, of 42.5. A sign that maybe both of these defenses could lead the way. I would have concerns about Ohio State and how they look, having not played in quite some time, to see how they look to open up this game. The last time we saw them was that Big Ten championship game where they lost to Indiana. Last season, and it's not really fair to compare, but we'll just throw it out there, all four teams with the bye lost in the quarterfinals. The reason why I say it's not fair to compare is because last season with the seeding the way it was, those four teams were not the better teams. In fact, they were the dogs in those games. So it's not like there were upsets. Just because those teams had the first round bye does not mean that they were the favorites and there was upsets. The better teams were the teams that had to play in the first round, won their games on their home fields, and then they were the favorites in the quarterfinal games and won those games. So not fair to compare it, but it is worth noting that those teams did lose, maybe look rusty after having a couple of weeks off here. So game number one, Cotton Bowl, AT&T Stadium, Miami, 9.5-point dogs against Ohio State. I have a strong lean on Miami here taking the points. Strong lean on them taking the points. It just feels like it's too much here with the way that their defense played against A&M. But Ohio State's a different animal. We certainly know that. Game number two on New Year's Day, coming up on Thursday, Oregon and Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl in Miami, where Oregon, a 2.5-point favorite. This is one where I am on the dog. I am on Texas Tech. This Texas Tech defense is the best defense in the country, and is it close? Maybe. I was going to say it's not even close. It's close. You could talk about Oklahoma. You could talk about Ohio State. The Texas Tech defensive front is elite, and they have been up to the task against every team that they have played this season. Their one loss was against Arizona State, where they didn't have their starting quarterback, Baron Morton. Will Hammond, who's a very capable backup, by the way, goes in there. They have a lead late in the game, and they give up the go-ahead touchdown with 34 seconds left. That was after a fourth down was converted on that drive. And so there was a moment where you thought maybe Texas Tech's going to hold on for the victory here. On a fourth and two play, Sam Levitt threw a 33-yard catch and run, and that put Arizona State in position to score and win that game. And we can play what if all you want. Doesn't matter. Texas Tech is here. They got a bye in the first round. They won every single one of their other games. But what impressed me the most about Texas Tech this year, and so this is the biggest comparison that you can look at when you're trying to draw any type of comparison to them playing against Oregon and how talented and physical and big Oregon is in the trenches. Utah and BYU twice. Two of the more physical teams in the country. Two of the teams that pride themselves on their line play. Some of the best offensive line units in the country. Against Utah, Texas Tech with a 34-10 win. Very impressive. And then the two wins against BYU, 29-7 and 34-7, limiting 10 points to Utah and 7 points to BYU twice. I mean, it doesn't get much more impressive than that. It doesn't. So if for everyone that says, well, they haven't faced a team that's as physical as Oregon, no, they have. And they've handled those teams. I love Texas Tech in this game. I really do. I think Texas Tech wins. And I'm very confident in that. Again, I have a ticket on Texas Tech to win the national championship, so I'm very high on them to win this game. Alabama, Indiana is one where the Rose Bowl, that's one where I'm on Indiana, and I don't think it's even close, to be honest with you. And I think all the love for Alabama is the SEC bias, is the, you know, maybe the recency bias of them coming back and winning that game against Oklahoma. They did not deserve to win that game against Oklahoma. Oklahoma deserved to lose, which they did. But think about what had to happen in order for Alabama to win that football game. They needed Oklahoma to throw a incomplete pass that should have been a 54-yard touchdown. And maybe if John Mateer doesn't throw that football, instead he runs for a first down, and now it's a 24-7 football game. And then even after that play, instead of going for a 4th-and-3 at midfield, Brent Venables punts it, and the punt gets dropped and blocked, and then Alabama scores a touchdown, a field goal, and then there's the pick six. And then the All-American kicker who wins the award for the best kicker in the country, he misses 2 field goals in the fourth quarter. They got out-yarded. They got out-gained. They do that every single week. Indiana's head and shoulders above Alabama. And then Georgia, Ole Miss. I have a lot of respect for Ole Miss. This game is going to be the Sugar Bowl there in New Orleans. I have a lot of respect for Ole Miss and what they have done. And it's very easy for them to get up and win a game, their first playoff game since Lane Kiffin leaves. Pete Golding, the DC, takes over as the head coach. Lane Kiffin allowing his offensive coordinator, Charlie Weiss Jr., to still, you know, call the games and whatnot. But this Georgia team might be the most complete team right now in the country. They have gotten significantly better week in and week out. And that performance against Alabama in the SEC championship game showed me everything I needed to see from this Georgia team to place my futures bet on them to win the national championship. I get it's a close line, could be a close game. I got Georgia winning, and of course I got Georgia, as I mentioned, winning the national championship. Hey, as the official horse racing partner of VSiN, First Bet is built for bettors who demand more. First Bet isn't just about placing a bet. It's about helping bettors of all levels with proprietary AI handicapping tools that provide data-driven insights to help you make smarter bets. Right now, you can take advantage of their limited-time $250 sign-up offer to claim your bonus. Use promo code VSiN250 when you sign up in the First Bet app or at firstbet.com. That's promo code VSiN250. I'm Scott Sandenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on the Sports Betting Network.